Appreciate the reading by Brother Rick just a few moments ago, Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, as well as in verse 5 and 6. I want to put those two passages on the chart again and read them again for the sake of emphasis and to get them before your mind's eye. We looked at those passages on this last Wednesday evening in our Bible study in the book of Revelation, and so they'll be familiar to you. But I want to remind you of what we said about those passages. Revelation 12 and in verse 1. Now a great sign appeared in heaven. A sign. A sign is that which signifies. It is symbolic of something. So that which follows is symbolic of something. The sign is a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Revelation 12, 1 and 2, verse 3, I believe speaks of the woman as being the faithful remnant of Israel. God's faithful remnant of the nation of Israel, through which the Christ child would come. The child under consideration is Christ. In verse 6, then the woman fled into the wilderness. But after Christ has come, the faithful remnant of Israel is referred to as the church, the spiritual nation of Israel. It is still the faithful remnant of God's people, because not even all God's people in the church will be saved, as we'll see at the end of our lesson. So the faithful remnant of God's people, represented by the woman, the faithful remnant of Israel, Old Testament Israel, brought forth a male child, that is, brought forth Christ. And then what did Christ do? Christ brought forth a nation. That nation, of course, is referred to the woman here. The woman fled into the wilderness. Who fled into the wilderness? The nation of Israel did. The faithful of God's people did. Spiritual Israel did. The church did. I want to see tonight with you how this unfolds throughout the Bible. Now, most of this lesson I presented several months back with the same title, A Faithful Remnant. We started out looking at the remnant that Paul mentioned in Romans chapter 11, beginning in verse 1 and following. I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. So has God cast away all of Israel? No. He's cast away some of them, but there's a portion of them that he hasn't cast away. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? I've reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so then, at the present time, at the very time that Paul is writing this, he says, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. It's the church. That's the remnant that is under consideration there. It consists at the time Paul is writing this of some from the nation of Israel, those who were faithful, and the Gentiles. They made up a remnant, the faithful people of God. But this thought of a faithful remnant goes all the way back in the Old Testament scriptures. And it begins there, speaking about the faithful remnant, and goes all the way to the end of the Bible itself. Note, in Genesis 7 and verse 1, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all of your household, because I've seen that you're righteous before me in this generation. So we have Noah and his family as the righteous remnant upon earth. Out of all the people that existed, there was but a remnant that was righteous that God saved. Did we not see that? Well, through Noah and his sons, the world was repopulated. a righteous son of Noah was Shem. In Genesis 11 and verse 10, this is the generation of Shem. And from Shem, Noah's son, came Abraham, or Abram. Genesis 11 and verse 26. Now Terah, the father of Abram, later known as Abraham, lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. So we have a faithful remnant. All the rest of the world is destroyed. Then through Noah's son Shem, God's people continue. We have Abraham coming from Shem. And remember, from Abraham, of course, would come a great nation. God had promised Abraham in Genesis 12 and verse 3, in you all the families of the earth should be blessed. But God made that same promise to Abraham's son, Isaac, in Genesis 26 and in verse 4. God said to Isaac, in your seed all the nations of the earth should be blessed. And then God not only made that promise to Abraham and to his son Isaac, but God also made that same promise to Jacob, Isaac's son, in Genesis 28 in verse 14. To Jacob, God said, in your seed all the families of the earth should be blessed. Remember, God changed Jacob's name to Israel in Genesis 32 and verse 28. Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. And we know from Israel, that is, from that man called Israel, came the nation of Israel. From that man called Israel came the 12 sons of Israel. We see the 12 stars on the woman's head in Revelation 12 and verse 1 represents the 12 tribes of Israel. And so your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but shall be called Israel. And Israel, along with his 12 sons, they grew into a great and mighty nation in the land of Egypt. In Exodus 1 and verse 7, but the children of Israel were faithful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. And so it was through this nation of Israel, that God purposed and planned to bring Christ into the world. Genesis 49 and in verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. From where is this one coming? Well, he's coming from between the feet. Note that, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. A scepter is a king's staff, his rod, his scepter, his ruling staff is that which is under consideration. The tribe of Judah, that is, the one who would come from the tribe of Judah, would rule and reign. He would be a lawgiver who would come from between Judah's feet. That is, he would be a descendant of Judah, as Christ is a descendant of him. Shiloh is mentioned here, no doubt, a reference to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But my point here is, this one under consideration is promised to come from Israel, that is, from the nation of Israel, from the tribe of Judah. Note this, in Deuteronomy 18, in verse 18, God told Moses, I will raise up for them a prophet like you, from where? From some other nation? From some other people? No. From among their brethren. That is, this prophet likened to Moses, and we know that prophet likened to Moses is Jesus. Jesus Christ. He came from the Israelites. In Romans 9 and verse 3 and following, Paul said, I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came. Paul said Christ came from the Israelites. That's what God had promised all along. So do we not see that Christ was going to come from this nation? That this nation, this woman in Revelation 12, has reference not to the nation of Israel as a whole, as we're going to see, but to the faithful remnant of that nation. Because the children of Israel, or the Israelites, of course, were God's chosen people. And he referred to them often in the scriptures as his wife, and he was their husband. Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. In Jeremiah 3 and in verse 14, return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. Naturally, of course, in the beginning, when all of the nation of Israel dedicated itself to God, he considered every Israelite married to him. But he also determined that every rebellious Israelite who refused to submit and obey his law would no longer be married to him. They would no longer have an association or relationship with him. If they would not serve him, then he would cut them off from among the people, like one cutting a branch from a tree or a branch from a vine. He would sever their relationship with the rest of the nation. Leviticus 17 and in verse 6. And the priest shall sprinkle blood on the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting and burn the fat for a sweet aroma to the Lord. They shall no more offer their sacrifices to demons, after whom they have played the harlot. This shall be a statute forever for them throughout their generations. Also you shall say to them, whatever man of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell among you who offers a burnt offering or sacrifice and does not bring it to the door of the tabernacle of meeting to offer it to the Lord, that man shall be cut off from among his people. Now what does that mean, cut off from among his people? He's going to sever their relationship with the rest of Israel. He's not going to recognize them as his people. He's only going to recognize those who are faithful to him. Verse 10, Leviticus 17. And whatever a man of the house of Israel or the strangers who dwell among you who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood, and I will cut him off from among his people. I'll set my face against that one. What does it mean to set one's face against someone? Well, I want you to think about it. Most of you have had children. And sometimes those children have done things that you're not pleased with. And perhaps they're sitting there on the floor doing that which you're not pleased with. And they look over and they see you looking at them. And they see on your face displeasure. They see on your face anger at what they're doing. And that's the idea. God was displeased. He set his face against those who were disobedient to him. And he cut them off from the rest of the people. As he would sever a branch from a vine, those people that were disobedient would no longer have a relationship with him or his faithful. Leviticus 18 and verse 29, he would say this over and over again. For whoever commits any of these abominations, the persons who commits them shall be cut off from among his people. Leviticus 20 and verse 3 and following. I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from his people, because he has given some of his descendants to Molech to defile my sanctuary and profane my holy name. And if the people of the land should in any way hide their eyes from man, when he gives some of his descendants to Molech and they do not kill him, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut him off from his people. Now this is nothing new to us. If a Christian is in constant disobedience to God today, what does God do with him? He severs his relationship with him. That's what he does. No different than he did in the Old Testament. My point under consideration is God had promised Israel that the seed, Christ, would come through that nation and bless all other nations. But the nation as a whole was not going to produce the Christ child. Only the faithful remnant. That would be the woman who would bring forth the child. So while they were still Israelites in the flesh and numbered as a part of the nation of Israel, God would simply not consider the disobedient his people. As time went by, the nation of Israel on whole became corrupt, and they were estranged from God, separated from God, because God had cut them off. But there was always a faithful few In 1 Kings 19, in verse 14, quoted in Romans 11, where we read earlier. And he said, that is Elijah said, because God asked him, what are you doing? He's hiding for his life. I have been very zealous, he said, that is Elijah said to God, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. So most of Israel had gone off into apostasy, into idolatry. So what's God's response to Elijah? Elijah thinks he's the only one left. God's response to Elijah was, 1 Kings 19 and verse 18, yet I've reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. A faithful remnant still existed, but most of the nation had gone off into apostasy. It was that faithful remnant that was going to produce the child in Revelation 12. This faithful few, of course, constituted what was known as the holy seed of the nation of Israel, God's true Israel. Isaiah 6 and in verse 12, the Lord has removed men far away, talking about the destruction that would come upon the nation by the Babylonians, and forsaken places are made in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it, and will return and be for consuming or for destruction, as a terebinth tree or as an oak, whose stump remains when it is cut down, so the holy seed shall be its stump. The holy seed, the faithful remnant in Israel, would be the stump. It would be the stump of the tree that's left. When God destroyed the nation and took them away into Babylonian captivity, it was like cutting a tree down. There wasn't but a stump left. But from that stump, a nation would come. In Jeremiah 24, in verse 1 and following, the Lord showed me there were two baskets of figs set before the temple of the Lord. After Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah and the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah with the craftsmen and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very bad figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then the Lord said to me, what do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, figs, the good figs, very good, and the bad, very bad, which cannot be eaten. They are so bad. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so I will acknowledge those who are carried away into Judah, whom I have sent out of this place for their own good into the land of the Chaldeans. The faithful seed. It's like the stump that remains. For I set my eyes on them for good, and I'll bring them back to this land. I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. Then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. So time and time again, we read of this faithful remnant that would be left, like a good basket of figs, but the bad basket of figs destroyed in the Babylonian captivity, or the Babylonian destruction of the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. The prophet Isaiah, 700 years before Christ came, pictured the Christ being delivered of this holy seed, this faithful remnant. Isaiah 66 and in verse 5. Look closely at this passage now. Isaiah 66 and in verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at His word. Who are those who tremble at His word? The faithful remnant. Those who are unfaithful don't tremble at His word. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at His word. Your brethren who hated you, who cast you out of for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy, but they shall be ashamed. Now I want you to look at that very closely. You who tremble at the Lord, at the word of the Lord, hear it. Your brethren who hate you, who hate those who are obedient to God? The unfaithful of Israel. Just as we come to the New Testament, who are those who are persecuting Christians? The unfaithful of Israel. The Jews who were disobedient to God. Those who held to Judaism as a means of justification. So under the old law, you had some who were faithful in Israel. Then you had those who were unfaithful. The unfaithful hated the faithful. So hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at His word. That is the faithful few, the faithful remember. Your brethren, the unfaithful, the disobedient, who hated you, who cast you out for my name's sake, said, and they think they're doing the Lord's will. They think they're glorifying the Lord. Let the Lord be glorified that we may see your joy, but they shall be ashamed. That's right, they will be brought to shame because they're going to be destroyed. The only ones who's going to remain are the faithful few, the stump, the holy seed. Note this now in verse 6. The sound of noise from the city, what city? Zion, Jerusalem. A voice from the temple, the voice of the Lord, who fully repays his enemies. Note this now, follow with me. Verse 7. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Now, we're going to come back to this in a little bit, but I want you to note this. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a child. Have you ever heard anything like that? Have you ever known of some woman who gave birth with no labor pains? No, doesn't happen. So the woman is not a literal woman that's under consideration. But we're going to come back to that. But note who's under consideration here. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at His word. It's the faithful few. Those faithful few are producing this child. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. And so, we come to Revelation 12 and verse 1. That woman, the faithful few of Israel, the faithful few Israelites, brought forth the male child. Do we not see that? She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and a child was called up to God and to His throne. Clearly indicates that it is the Christ child under consideration. But that Christ child came from whom? All of Israel? No. From the faithful few in Israel. Now this thought of the faithful remnant continues in the New Testament, all the way to the end of the New Testament, again to the book of Revelation. When Jesus came, in Matthew 15 in verse 24, He said, I was not sent except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The word except there means only. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I know it means only because the English Standard Version, New American Standard Bible, and other versions render it only. So Jesus said, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Pay close attention. If He was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, what about the sheep that wasn't lost? Was all Israel lost? No. Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. There were some sheep in Israel who were not lost. Who were they? The faithful remnant through which Christ came. Know this, Matthew 10 and verse 5. These 12, that is the apostles, Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Lost sheep of the house of Israel, of the family of Israel, of the nation of Israel, the Israelites, the lost people in Israel. That's who you go to. But not all people in Israel were lost at that time. Some were the faithful remnant of God's people. Jeremiah 50 and in verse 6, the prophet Jeremiah said, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountain. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. But remember, Not all the Israelites were led astray by their shepherds. Some of the Israelites remained faithful to God. Remember the 7,000 that had not bowed their knee to Baal? So all of them hadn't been led astray. John 10 and in verse 7, Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers." Who were those thieves and robbers that came before him? The shepherds of Israel in times past. But the sheep did not hear them. What sheep didn't hear them? The true sheep. The genuine sheep. The faithful sheep didn't hear those false shepherds. They were not led astray. They remained faithful to God. In John 10 and verse 26, Jesus speaking to Israelites, speaking to Jews, said, "But you do not believe, know this, because you are not my sheep." So all Israel were not his sheep, they were not God's sheep. "As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me." Under the old law, God's sheep were those who heard his voice and followed him. Under the law of Christ, those who hear the voice of the Lord and follow him are his sheep. But my point here is, you are not my sheep, Jesus said to Israelites. Who are his sheep? Those who hear and obey. That's who his sheep are. The faithful remnant of Israel. The sheep that followed Jesus were those faithful and righteous Israelites who continued to serve God regardless of what the rest of Israel did. To this group, Jesus said in Luke 12 and verse 32, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." There's his sheep. A little flock. A faithful few. They're going to receive the kingdom. Romans 9 and verse 27. And Isaiah cried out concerning Israel, "Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea," note this, "the remnant will be saved." Do you see that? Now this is a quote from Isaiah 10 and verse 22. "Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved." Out of all the population of the nation of Israel, only a faithful few are going to be saved. That was that faithful few that brought Christ into the world. And that was that faithful few that later became known as the church, the kingdom of God, spiritual Israel. So this faithful remnant of the Jews became the church. Romans 11 and verse 1. "I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or did you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel, saying, 'Lord, they've killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life.' But what does the divine response say to him? 'I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who've not bowed the knee to Baal.' Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace." So this faithful remnant of the Jews became the church. You see, this faithful remnant before Christ came, they're the ones through whom the Christ child came. They're the ones through whom Christ came. And then after Christ came and then ascended to his Father's right hand, that same faithful few of Israelites became known as the church. Now I want to go back to Isaiah 66 and verse 5 and following. We'll not take time to read all of this. You're familiar with verses 5 and following. You're familiar with it through verse 7. We pick up at verse 7. "Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child." Note verse 8. Who's heard such a thing? No one. No woman gives birth without labor and pain. Who has seen such a thing? No one. Note this now. Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Note that question. Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? The word earth here could have just as been easily translated land. And I want to suggest to you, it probably should have been translated land. And it's used as land is spoken of when it's the people of the land under consideration. We just saw it used that way not long ago in the book of Revelation. So, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth, that is, shall the people of the land give birth in one day? The people of what land give birth? The people of the land of Canaan, the people of the land of Israel. Shall they give birth in one day? Note this. Or shall a nation be born at once? Shall a nation be born in one day? Can a nation come into existence in one day? Yes, it can. And it did on the day of Pentecost. A spiritual nation, not a physical nation. For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth, note this, to her children. Note this. Earlier, the faithful remnant gave life to Christ. Later, that same faithful remnant known as the church is going to produce children. That woman is referred to as Zion or Jerusalem, the capital city of the Israelites. As Paul would tell us in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 4, that the heavenly Jerusalem is the mother of us all. She produces children. So we come back to Revelation. So we see in Revelation 12, verse 1 and 2, we see that woman. She represents the faithful remnant of Israel through which the Christ child came. Revelation 5 and 6. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was called up to God and His throne. Now note verse 6. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she is a place prepared by God. Who is the woman then? Well, after Christ has come and ascended back to the Father's right hand, the woman is the faithful remnant of God's people. Spoken of in other places as the church. Spiritual Israel, the nation that came into existence in one day, all at once. Acts 2 and verse 36, Peter said on the day of Pentecost, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and all who are far off, as many as our Lord our God shall call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added. You note the word to them is in italics. To what were they added? They were added to the church. They were added to the faithful remnant of God's people. That's what they were added to. This faithful remnant would also include other sheep. John 10 and verse 16, and other sheep, Jesus said, I have which are not of this fold. He's speaking of the Gentiles that would later become part of this fold. Acts 10 and verse 34, Peter at the household of Cornelius opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. So we see that this faithful remnant then becomes the church, consisting of both Jew and Gentile. To remain a part of this faithful remnant, the church, one simply needs to remain faithful. And that's Paul's whole point in Revelation 11, in verse 11 and following. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall, that is, the nation of Israel as a whole? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now if their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke you to jealousy, those who are of my flesh, and save some of them. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, note that, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, He will not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell severity, but toward you goodness, if you continue in His goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. What's the point? The point is, if you're going to remain a part of the faithful few, spiritual Israel, the people of God, the church, you have to remain faithful. If not, you'll be like the Israelites of old. They were cut off. God no longer had fellowship and a relationship with them. They were no longer recognized as His people. So in order to remain faithful in the church, you're going to have to continue to believe and obey the Word of God. In the end, when the Lord comes, there will be a holy remnant which will emerge from among those who claim to be a part of the faithful remnant to church. Not all the church is going to be saved. A lot of people believe it is. But there's a lot of unfaithful in the church. And those unfaithful will not be saved. Just as from the beginning, there's only going to be a remnant saved. There's only going to be a small part of those who claim to be faithful saved in the end. Several passages teach this. Matthew 13 in verse 24. Another parable He spoke forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven, remember it's the kingdom of God. Matthew calls it the kingdom of heaven. Other gospel writers, the kingdom of God. It's the church under consideration. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into the barn. The faithful few out of all of those who claim to be faithful. Matthew 13 in verse 47, another parable. And the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore. And they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will send forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Remember what Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven. So the only hope that we have today is to be a part of the faithful remnant, and to remain as such until the day of judgment. We want to be a part of that faithful remnant. But I hope you've understood better Revelation 12, 1 and 2, 5 and 6. The child came from a faithful remnant of God's people. That faithful remnant of God's people, the woman in verse 6, that fled into the wilderness is the church. That faithful remnant of God's people, known as the spiritual nation of Israel, the kingdom of God. The lesson is yours. I hope it will be of some benefit and profit to you. as you continue to study the Word of God. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, our desire is that you would become one. Remember, there's going to be a faithful few come the day of judgment. Your hope and your desire is to be among them. But if you're not a part of the church to begin with, you're not faithful to begin with. You need to become a part of the church. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess Him before this audience. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. As a child of God, if you have sin in your life, repent. Confess that sin, and we'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.